Good evening, dear ones. If you're on the other side of the world, good morning to you, and glad to have you all in fellowship on this midweek church service time. Greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and let's get into our service. Our opening song is "There Shall Be Showers of Blessings." There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen indeed. We need the abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit in both early and latter rain power. And may God pour him out upon us in rich abundance tonight and every night until Christ comes. It's now time for opening prayer. And will you please bow your heads and your knees? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you are in control of all things, that there's nothing we need to worry about in the future because you have it all in your most capable hands. And thank you so much for preparing for any emergency as long as we look to thee for help, for direction, for guidance, we will be safe. Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask that thy presence will be here in our midst. We also ask for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that indeed we'll receive showers of blessing tonight as we dig into your word of inspiration and seek to understand, thus saith the Lord, this evening. Father, we thank you so very much for hearing and answering the prayers that have been asked in this room and by thy people around the world. Thank you so much that everything is in your timing and according to thy perfect will. Thank you so much for your love for us, and we love you too. So please prepare our hearts that we might receive a refreshing tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're continuing in our study book of Acts, and we're in chapter 1, and we left off at verse 15. And the last thing that we were discussing was that there were a lot of the disciples and other followers of Christ that met together in this upper room and were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to be given to them as Christ had promised, that they were to wait there and they would receive power from on high. And so while they were in this upper room, it was more than just the 12, they were not just shooting the breeze with one another, but they were seeking everything that they could to remove any type of dissension or strife, bickering, animosity, to have it all put away so that they could become as close to each other as possible in seeking to answer the prayer of Christ in John 17. And each day that went by, they became more and more in one accord. And this was both men and women, brothers and sisters of the faith. And so that's where we left off last time. And now we're at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So there was 120, about 120, could have been a little more, just a little bit less. And all of these people were seeking to be united together as one. So after several days of communing together, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the following. Verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue Aceldama, or Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take, or in other words, his discipleship. So Peter stands up and says, out of the 12 disciples that Christ chose, there's 11 of us here, and the one that is no longer here is Judas. And the Holy Spirit inspired David to write, that's contained in the book of Psalms, that another individual is to be chosen to take the place of Judas so that the number of disciples is back up to 12. Now, this is when they were in this upper room. So here we see that they were not only seeking to unite together as one, but they were also organizing themselves. So unity and organization go together. Without organization, unity falls apart. Without unity, organization falls apart. It's not the type of organization God desires. It becomes a different kind of organization. But unity and organization go hand in hand. Question in the room says, what is the difference between a ghost and a spirit? It's the same in the scriptures. Ghost and spirit just represents a non-human entity. So here we're talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and that's just meaning it's a non-human entity. And we know that it's the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost that inspired holy men of old to write the scriptures. And so in the New Testament time, what was brought to Peter's mind was the passage of David in the Psalms, where the Holy Spirit inspired him to say that there needs to be an individual chosen to take the place of Judas in the disciples of Christ, or the ministering of the disciples of Christ. So here we see that the Holy Spirit was in existence in the Old Testament, not just in the New. And to some, that's a revelation, because they believe that the Holy Spirit was not in existence until he was poured out in Pentecost upon the disciples. Here we see very plain scriptural evidence that the Holy Spirit was in existence in the Old Testament. In fact, the Holy Spirit was in existence before creation. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." So the Holy Spirit has been around since before creation. And in Hebrews 9, I think it's verse 27, it states there that the Holy Spirit is eternal. So now we know that the Holy Spirit has always been in existence, just as the Father and the Lord God Michael, who became Jesus Christ in humanity, has also always been in existence from eternity. So Peter said, we need to choose someone to take the place of Judas, who fell out of this ministry. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Would someone like to read the next three verses? Please go right ahead and do so.
Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So it wasn't just any individual that was to be chosen to take the place of Judas among the 12. But it was to be someone that had been connected with Christ from the beginning and was also witness to his resurrection after dying on the cross and being buried in the tomb. And so when they looked through the midst of all of these disciples in this upper room, they found that there was only two that could fit that criteria. So they weren't choosing lots. It was not something that individuals applied for to take the place of Judas, but it was something that dealt with investigation into their lives, into their standing in the truth, and into their connection with the Lord. So they were investigated into to see where they stood in all of these important matters. And out of all the disciples that were there, excluding the 11, but out of the rest of the disciples that were there, there were only two of them that met the criteria to be able to take the place of Judas among the 12. And there was Joseph Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus. So it was Joseph Barsabbas Justus. And then there was Matthias. So now, how are the disciples going to choose between these two individuals? Were they going to go on who they liked the most? Were they going to go on how they looked? How they spoke? How are they going to choose who was going to take the place of Judas among the 12? Let's continue reading. Would someone like to read the next three verses?
And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And I'm wondering, what does it mean to cast lots?
Thank you, dear sister. It's my understanding that the lot was like drawing straws. So between the two, there was one straw that was big and one straw that was small, and they determined, you know, which one was going to be chosen that way. That's my understanding on lots. Are there other understandings here?
I guess they had to pray before they throw the lots, right?
Before, it said that when they were faced in having to decide which of the two God had chosen, because they didn't want to choose. It was Christ that chose the disciples. So Christ was going to have to choose who was going to take the place of Judas here. They didn't want to do it. They can't read hearts. So they opened it up to prayer. Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show us which of these two have you chosen to take the place of Judas. And the only way that they were going to know was to leave it up to chance and expected God to overrule in that casting of lots so that the lot would fall upon the one God had chosen. And in this case, God chose Matthias. Question room says, aren't lots and votes the same thing? And no, not in my understanding, they're not the same thing. Now, there is a passage in the Spirit of Prophecy that talks about how today we cannot trust the randomness of casting lots like they did back in the ancient times, because there's no safety in it. The devil can interfere with things and allow, if you're tossing a coin up in the air for heads or tails, he can manipulate that coin and have it come down any way that he wants the decision to be. So there's no safety in referring to casting lots today. Now, it's similar to miracles. Christ performed a lot of miracles. The prophets in the past performed a lot of miracles. That was a sign that the individual was from God. But in today's age, the devil can counterfeit miracles. So there's no, you can't trust that a miracle working individual is from God because the devil can counterfeit it. It's the same basis with casting lots today. The devil can manipulate the outcome. So if we today were faced with having to choose between Barsabbas and Matthias to take a place among the elders in our group, we would have to rely upon voting because it's a lot harder for the devil to manipulate the vote than it is for him to manipulate a game of chance, such as casting lots. So there's much more safety in having all of the brethren and sisterin vote for a particular individual because the Holy Spirit can impress the minds on who to vote for. So the casting of lots was like straws or however they did it. And this particular lot happened to fall on Matthias. Now, since Matthias was chosen and Barsabbas was not chosen, did that make Barsabbas jealous? Did that make him upset? There's no record how Barsabbas responded to this. But he was one of the individuals that were in unity with the rest of the disciples, some 120 individuals. So I would imagine that he submitted to the choice of the Holy Spirit who had chosen Matthias. And it was the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit that had done that. So that didn't mean that Barsabbas was a bad individual. That just meant that the Lord saw that Matthias was better qualified for that position among the 12 than was Joseph. So that has some relevance to us today. Just because God may give our brother or sister 5 talents and we only have 1 or 2, doesn't mean that we're to be jealous. It doesn't mean that we're to be bent out of shape because of that. But we're to be grateful that God has given us what we have. And we're to be thankful that God has given more to our brother and sister. So self is to be dead, that Christ may be revealed. So now that unity has taken place, and now that organization has taken place, and now the disciples are back up to their 12 in number, along with more than 100 others that are in unity with them, what happens next?
I was just going to comment on the being chosen by God. That's the beauty of being chosen by God, because He can see everything from the beginning to the end, and he may have something picked out for us that we're better fitted to, or he can use us in a better way. And we just praise God that he's there overruling and ruling in our lives.
Amen. And praise God indeed for being in control. When you think about it, it's only pure arrogance, pure selfish exaltation that an individual can be led to believe that he has enough wisdom to control God's work. God sees the end from the beginning. He is all wise. Can't be fooled, can't be misled, can't make a mistake in decision. So in allowing God to lead and to guide and to change our plans, it is all for the best. The outcome will be the best. The pathway taking to the outcome will be the best that God chooses. So if we will just get out of the way and allow God to lead and guide, his work would be finished rapidly. But it's because self gets in the way and we think we know a better way of doing things, or we know a more precise way of accomplishing a certain task, and thus we set God's wisdom aside. That's why we're still here in this earth. Could have been in heaven a long time ago. But I pray that we will learn our lesson and allow God to rule. Then everything will work out fine. So after unity occurred and organization was completed, then what happened?
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And this has very important significance for us today. It says, when it came time for the Spirit to be poured out, that was Pentecost, the disciples were all of one accord. So they were completely united together, seeing eye to eye, linked in brotherly and sisterly love. An organization had already taken place. So when organization had taken place and the brethren were all united together and it was time for the Spirit to be poured out, the Spirit filled the house and filled each of the disciples, not just the 12, but all 120 or so. And they all began to speak with other tongues. Some spoke one language, another spoke a different language, another spoke a different language. But the Spirit was in control because it was the Spirit that chose which gift of language to give the particular individual. So it wasn't that they sat down and said, okay, Mary over here, when the Spirit is poured out, she's going to have the gift of Spanish. And Peter over here is going to have the gift of Greek language. It was the Spirit that chose which gift was going to which individual. So there's no way that we're going to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in latter rain power. This was the early rain back in the beginning of the early Christian church, or near the beginning. Christ calling the disciples was actually the beginning of the early Christian church. But here we see that they had to be united together as one under a simple form of organization before the Spirit was given them in power. And when the Spirit was given them, the Spirit had full control over each individual. Peter wasn't in control. James wasn't in control. None of the disciples were in control of what the Spirit did. But the Spirit was in control over each individual heart. And yet, there was perfect unity and oneness and organization among the believers. So even though believers were speaking different languages, yet they were all speaking harmonious truths because the Spirit was in control, and the Spirit never goes against the Word of God. So we're not talking about independent atoms here, where each individual goes off and speaks whatever they want to speak. We're talking about a group of people united together and yet all submitted fully to the working of the Spirit upon their hearts. And all had their particular jobs to do. And all were still united together in a simple form of organization. But none of this would have occurred without the disciples coming together, working out their differences, and becoming one in faith, in mind, in action, under a simple form of organization. Once that occurred, once that preliminary work was done, then it was like God opened the windows of heaven and allowed the Spirit to come down and control the work. So if we want the same outpouring of the Spirit, only in 10 times the power of Pentecost, then we must do this preparatory work. We must come together, working out all our differences, becoming of one mind, of one accord, submitted fully to God, under a simple form of organization, and then the latter rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the angel that fills this earth with the glory of God, will come down and take control of the work and will use each united brother and sister in fulfilling God's purpose for why He gave us life in this last generation. But as long as self is alive, the Spirit can't work as it wants to. And so time goes on, when it should have already ended. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments? please feel free. So here we see that the Spirit was poured out. Each individual united believer was speaking the particular language the Spirit gave them as their work. And why were they speaking different tongues? For whose benefit were these messages in different languages given them by the Spirit? Was it to edify the 120 or so believers there in the upper room? They were already united together. What work did the Spirit give them to do? And this is what we'll find out next time. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Okay, let us open it up to a season of prayer. And are there any prayer requests? Let's see. Pray for my friend, Anna, to have wisdom to get well from a serious health problem. Okay, dear sister, we will. Are there any other prayer requests? Amen. Okay, we'll keep Sister Michelle in prayer while she's away from home. We'll keep Brother Joel and family in prayer for a meeting that is starting this coming weekend. Yes, indeed. Please also pray for Sister Sheila and her sisters. Will do. And please keep this home church and ministry in prayer. Thank you so much. And now let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please feel free.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Empty our hearts of the worldly things. And, dear Lord, please fill us in all the empty places with the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you will take notice of all of our requests for friend Anna, for Sister Michelle, for the meetings taking place. Pray for Sister Sheila and her sisters. And pray for Vic Walker that he's well enough to play some music again. We miss that. Thankful, dear Lord, for pushing the smoke away from the Walker's home. And we pray that while we are empty of self and the Holy Spirit is within us, that each one of us is flooded with that love that we need to support each other and to be broadcasters of your word to whomever we come in contact. Thank you, Lord, for these meetings and for the opportunity to fellowship with one another and with you and the holy angels. And we ask that we find the time to come even closer with you. Thank you for still working miracles in our day and age, and for loving us and giving us your Son to die for us so that we could have access to live with you forever and with the angels. And give us good rest tonight, because with good rest comes healing. And quicken our hearts with the wisdom of the right foods and the right things to make our body truly a living temple for you. And we ask these things in this great miracle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being in control of your great work. And I pray, Father, that as we see the necessary steps that were taken to receive the early rain of Pentecost, that we, the followers of Jesus Christ in these last days, will follow the same steps. That we will come together seeking to put away all our differences, all our strife, everything that separates us from one another, so that we might be able to be united together under a simple form of organization, so that we might prepare ourselves to receive the outpouring of the Spirit in the latter rain. Father, we recognize that self is why we're still here in this wicked world, when we should have already been in heaven going through the 1,000 years, reviewing the record books of those that didn't make it. And that you have shown us that in coming together as one, working out our differences, is the way for self to be crucified and kept buried, and thus have our hearts completely open to receive the outpouring of the Spirit. So please help each one of us to put self down and to put Christ on, that he may be exalted, and especially that our hearts may be filled with your love and not the devil's form of love. This world is growing more wicked as each day passes, and more people are losing their lives. Help us to get ourselves ready so that you might be able to use us in any way and fashion that your Spirit sees is necessary in order to hasten the coming of our Savior and end this great controversy. We allow you, as the Master Potter, to mold us in whatever fashion you see is for your glory. And we don't want to mold ourselves, because we'll only make a mess of the outcome. So, Father, please take control of our lives, control of this home church, and help us to give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions, any songs, testimonies, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free. Well, a hymn comes to mind. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all might go in.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, blessed Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Sister Sheila, stay and sing a verse of this, okay? Don't go until you sing. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the
great things he had taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be a wonder of transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has.
Amen. Beautiful. And thank you, dear ones. Well, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep drawing closer to Jesus and to one another, dear ones. And I pray that you will be filled more and more with the showers of blessing, the Holy Spirit filling you and leading and guiding you into all truth. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you in a couple days when the Sabbath is here. And so, dear ones, keep looking up. And I'd like to leave you now with this scripture song. See she from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? See she from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:20. May God bless, dear one.